Today, I thought what we would cover, it's going to be several passages, but the text in Luke 21 will be verses 29 through 33, which is Jesus' telling about the parable of the fig tree. And then we're going to look at some other passages that we did look at last week, but I'm going to look at those again for a specific reason. And then also, there is a pronoun in here that we're going to figure out what Jesus is referring to as a pronoun as far as these things. Okay, so Luke 21, verse 29. Then Jesus spoke to them a parable. Okay, so, and them we know are the apostles. And Jesus says, "Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near." So that's the premise that Jesus started with. And because of that knowledge, verse 31. "So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." So, now Jesus is, in this context, talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And he's telling them that all of these things will happen in this generation. Verse 32, "This generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place." What were these things that would come before the destruction of the temple? Okay, we're going to stay right here in this Luke 21, and let's read verses 8 through 12. Because we get the lion's share of these things that would happen before the destruction of the temple. That would happen in their generation. Verse 8. "And Jesus said, take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, so I am God, or I am the Messiah, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them." So, there will be many false messiahs and false prophets that come supposedly in God's name. And Jesus is saying, don't go after them. These are deceivers. And Josephus recorded about many false messiahs from the year 30 AD to 70 AD. And he recorded about several of these that showed up and that were deceivers. Okay, so that was some of these things. Now let's keep on going. Verse 9. "But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first. But the end will not come immediately." Okay, so they're going to be about hearing about wars and commotions, wars and rumors of wars. Well, and we know that was going on. What was the Roman Empire doing? Well, they were conquerors and they were empire builders. And so they were fighting all of these wars. Other nations were trying to attack and come in to maybe fight back or be an offensive against Rome. But then definitely Rome was an offensive trying to expand their empire. So they were always in war. And so they were in war from the whole time from the 30 to 70 AD. But this was not, there's going to be a specific sign about when the destruction of the temple was imminent. But this is not it. Jesus is saying that these things must come to pass. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And the time is not imminent. You just know that you need to be getting ready for the destruction of the temple. It's coming, but it's not immediate. Okay, verse 10. "Then Jesus continued to say to the apostles, nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Okay, there's going to be earthquakes, all kinds of natural disasters. And Josephus recorded these natural disasters that happened in various places, so not just in Judea, but it was all over, and they would hear about those. And famines and pestilences. Let's focus on this famines. Was there a famine that happened somewhere between 30 and 70 AD that has become really famous that is talked about even in the Bible? And the answer is yes. And what was that? Or what was the result of that? The Apostle Paul went on a missionary journey to collect funds. He went on the second missionary journey to tell all of these congregations all over what is now known as Turkey, but it was Asia Minor at that time. And there were seven congregations in Asia Minor. But he even went more than that. He went to Macedonia, which is now modern-day Greece. And then he went to Greece at that time. They hadn't expanded into Macedonia at that time. But then he came down into Thessalonica. And then he went into Athens, Greece. And the congregations there, he was telling those congregations to save up money, store up money by yourselves, so whenever I come again on the third missionary journey, you will have saved up money, and I will take this money for the poor Christians in Jerusalem that are going through a very severe drought, a famine. And so we know that this happened, and when was that time period? I'm going to say something like 50 AD, somewhere in there, maybe 60 AD. And I don't know how long the famine lasted, but we do know for sure, verified from the book of Acts, and also 1 Corinthians also verified this, that there was a very strong, a severe famine, drought that went on in Judea, and then the Apostle Paul was raising funds for those Christians that were in Judea on his missionary journeys. Okay, and then pestilences, diseases. I don't know of any recording, and maybe Josephus recorded, I don't know. But otherwise, we know that it happened, whether it got recorded in history or not. And I'm not sure about, I don't know of anything that's mentioned here in the New Testament about any pestilences, but we know that they happen. Jesus said it was going to happen, and we know it did. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now, Josephus recorded various astrological happenings, and Kaufman didn't say what they were, but he did record things that happened in this time period, 30 to 70 AD, that were signs from heaven. But these were not signs of the imminent destruction of Jerusalem. These were things that would come to pass before Jerusalem's destroyed. And we'll get into the imminent sign. Okay, then verse 12. But before all these things, before these things here that we've talked about the false prophets, the wars, the earthquakes, the natural disasters, the famines and the pestilences, and the signs in heaven, before that happens, they will lay hands on you, apostles, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. So, we know, we have recordings about that before these signs start, that these apostles were going to be on the front lines of God's kingdom. And so, as a result, they were going to be persecuted. And we know that their persecution started here with in Acts chapter 8 with the Apostle Paul. And, they were imprisoned and beaten even before the Apostle Paul started. But then the real persecution started in Acts chapter 8. But anyway, so we have this recordings here. And then Jesus even says, some of you, some of you right here, verse 16, some of you will be put to death. And we know James was one of those. In fact, that's the only apostle that gets recorded in the New Testament about a death. History has recorded this. Fox's Book of Martyrs has recorded, I guess, the death of all of them. And whether that's true or not, we don't know. But we do know about James's death. So some of you will be put to death before these other things start to happen. So that's the persecution started right off the bat before any of these other preliminary signs of Jerusalem's imminent destruction would happen. Okay, but as far as the imminent destruction and the sign that Jesus told them is the imminent sign to get out of Jerusalem because the destruction is coming upon them, is verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know its desolation is near. Okay, so all of these other things will happen beforehand. The time is not near. It's just you know that it's coming. But when you see the army surrounding Jerusalem, you know the desolation is near. And that's when you flee to the mountains. And so then, the one historian, Eusebius, he recorded that all the Christians got out of Jerusalem. Hopefully they did, and they should have. They were without excuse. If they did not get out, it was their own fault because Jesus laid the format down, how they could escape. And then I really like Kaufman's thought that here all of the righteous in every time, all three times that it's talked about in the Bible of God coming in destruction, the three major times, the righteous were lifted up, removed, but they all traveled in an upward direction, and they were removed up and out of the danger before the destruction hit, and then the destruction came up only on the unrighteous. And here again, this happened. Then these Christians would have gone up into the mountains. They got removed away before the destruction hit Jerusalem, and then the destruction came upon the unrighteous. Okay, so that is the explanation of these things that will all come to pass in this generation. Then the destruction of the temple would occur. Any questions or comments on this? Okay, now I want to look at two other passages that we looked at last week, but this will be in a more abbreviated portion. And it's for this reason that Kaufman and J.W. McGarvey both wrote that there were commentators all through the centuries that falsely accused Jesus of misleading people, and because Jesus himself thought that the end of the earth would come in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. That is a false attack on Jesus, because Jesus never said such a thing. In fact, we're going to look at a passage that Jesus said and then a passage that Peter wrote that both refers to the end of time as being a long time, a long delay. It's going to be much longer. The temple's going to be destroyed in this generation, Jesus says. But as far as the end of the earth, the question that the apostles also ask him about, that's going to be a long time. That's going to be a long delay. Okay, so let's look at first Matthew 24. And we'll start in verse 45. Matthew 24, 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing, working in the God's kingdom. Okay. And then, assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Now, verse 48. This is talking about that it's going to be a long delay. And Jesus understood that the end of time would be a long delay, much longer. It was not going to happen at the destruction of the temple. It's going to be a long time after that. Got a long delay. And this is Jesus' words here. Verse 48. But if the evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, in verse 48, here, Jesus is letting all of humanity know that there will be a long delay between the destruction of the temple and the end of time. And he says it right here, my master is delaying his coming. And so as a result, I'm going to mistreat my fellow servants. He's going to stop working in God's kingdom. And then Jesus says that when Jesus will come at an hour that he is not aware, so he will come as a thief in the night that we will read about here in a little bit, that Peter says, and at an hour that he's not aware of, and he will be cut in two, and he will be cast with the hypocrites, with the other sinful people. See, this is talking about one of God's servants that was working in God's kingdom, but he lost his way, and Jesus hasn't come yet, and it's been so long since he hasn't come, so I don't think he's going to come, so I think all of this is a lie. And so then he quits working again in God's kingdom, in the vineyard, and then as a result, he starts really working against God's kingdom. So this could be an analogy for someone becoming an atheist, and then actively working against God's kingdom, because that's what this man was doing. Anyway, and then Jesus says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, which this is a reference to be cast into Gehenna, cast into the eternal fire, and the eternal punishment that Jesus talks about in Matthew 25, this next chapter. He talks about this judgment that will come upon the unrighteous. And those that had been previously righteous but have lost their way and decided to leave God's kingdom and maybe even work against it, but there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So that's a reference here to thrown into Gehenna after the judgment. Okay, any questions or comments on this passage? The last passage that I want to look at here is 2 Peter 3. And we looked at this last week, but we're going to look at it again. In looking for the context and for the reason of that it's going to be a long delay in Jesus's second coming, and as he's going to come to destroy the earth. Going to be a long delay. Okay, so 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Now, the days word, unfortunately, in the King James, and I don't know about all of them, I did not look into McCord's translation. Hopefully McCord translated that age as age instead of days, because that's what it should have been from the Greek. This is a long period of time. The last age is what it should have been, not the last. That's better than days, although, you know, days are not necessarily wrong, but age gets the Greek word, comes across with the Greek word in English a lot better than days does. And we've been in this last age since Acts chapter 2, since the day of Pentecost. So we've been in this last age. There is not going to be another age. There's been three ages in the earth's history, and that's all the three ages there were. First, it was the patriarchal age, and that went from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve up until Moses, and then that started the Mosaic age, and this was only for the Israelites, only for the Jews, and that went from Moses, from really it was a little after Moses, but it was whenever Moses, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. That started the Mosaic age, and then that went all the way until Acts chapter 2, when God's kingdom was established, and on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost. When God's kingdom came. So that, and then from the day of Pentecost until the end of time, we're in the Christian age, and so that this is the last age. So this is what Peter's talking about here. That there will be scoffers that come in the last age, and they walk according to their own desires, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." So here we can tell by this, Peter is talking about that there is going to be a very long time from the destruction of the temple that Jesus was talking about until the end of time. That Jesus is going to return, it's going to be a long time. So Jesus knew that it was going to be a long time. That's why he talked about these evil, wicked servant that was mistreating the good servants. And there would be judgment come upon. And Peter says the same thing. That these scoffers, that these unrighteous people are going to be saying, "Where's the promise of his coming? It's been such a long time, and the earth is been the same since all that we know." And then the next thing that Peter says, "For this they willfully forget." And now, the atheist and the modern-day evolutionist are the easiest to point this out to and about, because this relates directly to them. Come up with this evolution and the eons of time of the earth, thinking that from the formation of the earth as they go through, which is not the way it happened, but through this eons of time of the formation of the earth and everything evolved, but everything was just a very, very gradual, because that's we see things, changes on the earth is very gradual now. The continents are still moving apart, but it's just a centimeter a year or less than that. It's just very small and slow. And they think that that is the way that it has happened from the beginning. And that's how they get, well, eons of time, you know, billions of years of time. Well, they willfully forget. And so on purposely, they forget, is what Peter is saying, that the earth that we see today is not the earth that it has been always. Before the flood, the earth was a completely different world and environment. It was watered differently. It was, the atmosphere was different. The climate was different. The size of the animals were different, the size of plants. We found all of this since then. Everything was different before the flood than after the flood. So that is a false analogy that these scoffers come up with, thinking that the earth is today the same today now as it was then. And everything's always been the same. And then, so Peter comes up. They forget about this flood that happened, that there's evidence all over the world. Okay, now let's go to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Okay, so what are the signs of the end of time? The answer is there will be none. There are none. Jesus gave none. Peter gave none. Both Jesus and Peter are saying that Jesus will return at a time when no one has a clue. Peter says will return as a thief in the night. Jesus says return when he is unaware. And just think of this. When a thief comes and robs us, is there any kind of a sign that precedes that? Is there any, you get a phone call, say, hey, you know, sometime here pretty soon you're going to get robbed. No, there's nothing. They catch us completely unaware. We're either, we're away from the house and we come back and we realize, oh, we've been robbed. We've been broken into. There is not any kind of a warning of any sort. Now, there were warnings and signs that would precede the destruction of the temple, but there will not be, and Jesus gave none and Peter gave none, of any warnings of the destruction of the earth when Jesus would return again. And I guess I'll say the only thing that would be referred to is that there will be more scoffers and more unrighteous and fewer righteous. That's probably the only sign, if that could be called a sign, that there will be. And who knows, that may possibly precipitate and be the reason why God sends Jesus to destroy the earth. Because that is the pattern that happened in Noah's day, and in Lot's day with Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll say probably very likely there were not hardly any righteous. There were not hardly any Christians probably even in Jerusalem. I don't know how many there were that left Jerusalem in Judea and went to the mountains and had to stay during the destruction of the Jerusalem. But the overwhelming were the unrighteous Jews at that time. And so if God holds to this pattern, which I would think that very likely he will, that could be a sign of not many righteous left on earth. Now, there was someone who said to me one time a while back that they feared for God's kingdom, how God's kingdom would survive, and how will there be any righteous left when Jesus returns. Well, we know that there will be righteous because of also what we covered last week with 1 Thessalonians 4, that we won't relook at that. But, and Jesus referred to the same thing, that there will be righteous on earth when he returns, and 1 Thessalonians 4 says God, Jesus will send the angels and gather up all of the righteous all over the face of the earth. And they will be raised up. They will go up into the clouds. So they will be lifted up out before the destruction hits the unrighteous and the destruction of the earth. So we do know that there will be righteous. So no matter, even if it's 100,000 or, I can't imagine hardly a million years, but tens and hundreds of thousands of years into the future, there will be righteous on the earth, waiting God's coming when Jesus returns, just the same way as there were righteous Jews who were awaiting God's kingdom when Jesus was born, and even at Jesus' death. We have a Nicodemus that it was said that he was waiting on God's kingdom and eagerly awaiting the coming of God's kingdom. So there will be, no matter when it is that Jesus comes to destroy the earth, there will be righteous that are eagerly awaiting the judgment and Jesus' return. Okay, so any questions or comments on this? We will end there, and after we sing, I'll plan to read Kaufman's commentary on these five verses of Luke 21.